The affluence that's come to many sections of Brooklyn over the past couple of decades hasn't seemed to reach its hospitals. This year, only the emergency room at Long Island College Hospital in Brooklyn Heights was saved, as the rest of the building is being converted into luxury housing. Other Brooklyn hospitals like Interfaith are struggling to stay open. Kim Velsey, a senior editor at the New York Observer, detailed these and other aspects of Brooklyn's hospital situation in an article called "Nice Place to Live, But I Wouldn't Want to Get Sick There: Inside Brooklyn's Hospital Crisis." It's in the July 21st issue of the Observer, and I'm very pleased to welcome Kim Velsey to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
St. Vincent's Hospital in the West Village closed in 2010. Were its financial problems similar to the troubled hospitals in Brooklyn?
Well, in some ways it was very different because it was part of the Catholic hospital network, but it did have a lot of similarities, particularly in that over time, many of the increasingly affluent residents around that particular area were not using St. Vincent's.
And why is that? We're talking about Greenwich Village, Brooklyn Heights, fairly affluent areas. Why can't they sustain local hospitals?
Right.
Are people going elsewhere when they get sick? Don't you want to go to the place that's closest to you?
So it should seem, but, over time, especially once hospitals start having problems, oftentimes people with choice will opt to go further away. And especially in a place like New York, where you have many very affluent people, they often gravitate towards centers of excellence no matter what.
What does it mean for the community when a hospital closes? Does it put pressure on remaining nearby hospitals?
Definitely does. And, studies have shown as well that when a hospital closes, the people who went to it, there's a certain percentage who just doesn't go anywhere afterwards and sort of stop seeking health care until, an emergency really happens.
Well, I've been in the emergency room of Litch, and I waited a long time. That may be one of the reasons people didn't go there as well.
Right. Well, and I think especially with Litch, it had been losing a lot of money long before SUNY took it over.
And why?
Well, I mean, part of it had to do with larger shifts that were happening. A lot of services that used to be provided only in hospitals have, been provided more and more as outpatient services. So hospitals with a lot of beds just didn't need them. They weren't bringing in that revenue anymore. But I think Litch, especially as, it kept on losing money, it became a place where doctors ended their affiliations with and people didn't want to go. They weren't sent there anymore as well.
Because people often want to go to the hospital their doctor works at.
Right, especially if it's like a non-emergency that you have a little time for.
How many hospitals are there in Brooklyn? Do we know?
Right now, I'm not sure of the exact number, no.
But do you know if most of them are struggling financially?
There are some that are doing, better than others, but I think in general with hospital care, none of the margins are particularly high, and none of them are part of, sort of huge networks, which provides a great buffer for a lot of hospitals.
The one that is Kings County Hospital.
Right.
Is it protected because it's funded by New York City Health and Hospitals Corporation, which is the largest municipal healthcare facility in the United States?
I mean, I would say that Health and Hospitals Corporation probably has different advantages and challenges than a lot of other hospitals. It is part of a large network, but it's dependent on taxpayer, funds.
So does Kings County become the hospital of last resort for many people who don't want to go to Manhattan?
I mean, I think, people who can choose as, hospitals continue to lose money, things deteriorate, waits get longer, do go to Manhattan. But there are a lot of people who can't make that choice or can't get to a, Manhattan hospital.
Why was Interfaith Hospital in Central Brooklyn forced to declare bankruptcy earlier this year?
Well, Interfaith had a lot of problems, but, among them, one of the huge problems for Brooklyn hospitals is having a very large percentage of patients who are on Medicaid or Medicare, which has been reimbursing much less, for a number of years. Also, a number of residents who, don't have primary care providers in the neighborhood, so tend to seek out hospital services for, sort of more basic problems.
Isn't Obamacare supposed to take care of some of that?
It is.
Alleviate that problem?
It definitely is. And I think we have yet to sort of see how exactly it's going to play out in Brooklyn. Part of what we will be seeing soon is Medicare, the federal Medicaid waiver money will be going to Brooklyn hospitals, three specifically, who have had problems. But it's also tied into sort of forced changes where they have to work, collaborate with other hospitals and reduce unnecessary hospitalizations.
Interfaith is also a psychiatric hospital.
Right.
How have its financial struggles affected its ability to serve psychiatric patients?
Yeah, well, fortunately, the state did step in and made sure that it stayed open when it was going through bankruptcy because it was considered a safety net hospital in the borough, especially after St. Mary's closed, several years ago. So,
some of the hospitals that don't seem to have the biggest problems, like my Maimonides Medical Center, still have other kinds of problems. They don't have certain specialty procedures. If you need heart surgery, you can't go there. Is there any hospital in Brooklyn you can go to if you need heart surgery?
Yeah. Well, Maimonides is actually really, considered a very good hospital for heart surgery. But, you know, it doesn't have some of the specialty centers that you might see in Manhattan. I think, though, sort of even for hospitals that do offer very good specialty services, they sort of face a challenge in that many Brooklynites won't even look into, you know, those services because they think Manhattan is automatically better, and then they lose the higher sort of margin procedures that would help them.
My guess is Kim Velsey, her article, Nice Place to Live, But I Wouldn't Want to Get Sick There, Inside Brooklyn's Hospital Crisis, is in the current issue of the New York Observer, and we have a link to it on our show page at WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. So people are going to Manhattan instead. Is there a prejudice against Brooklyn hospitals in general merely because they're in Brooklyn?
I think that's definitely the case. I think many people who have recently moved to Brooklyn sort of have some sort of prejudice that things in Manhattan are generally better. And several years ago, the New York Times also published a study about the number of women in Brownstone, Brooklyn, who were deciding to have babies in Manhattan. So that would seem,
I would think it's just as, that hospitals would be just as good at delivering babies in Brooklyn as they would be in Manhattan.
Right, exactly, unless you have some sort of incredibly complicated, birth. I think, especially Maimonides as well delivers more babies than any other hospital in the state. So it would certainly seem like a place where Brooklyn mothers might want to seek out care.
And it turns out 35% of Brooklyn's residents who have regular health insurance go to Manhattan hospitals when they need to go to a hospital.
Right. I mean, many of the parents I spoke to as well when I was researching this story talked about the fact that they sort of just routinely, and all their pediatricians recommend it, going to the hospitals, on the Upper West Side or NYU versus Brooklyn.
Why don't Brooklyn hospitals have the kind of deep pocket donors that their Manhattan counterparts have?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably in some ways a case of, just sort of everything in Manhattan sort of being bigger and, large donors sort of want to attach their names to hospitals that are already known for research. And also in Brooklyn, the only academic medical center is SUNY Downstate, where, as you know, Manhattan has a number of them and people want to sort of be associated, I think, with research.
Although you'd think that now that Brooklyn has become a really hot borough, that would change, but it doesn't seem to be changing. If anything, it seems to be moving in the opposite direction.
Right. I mean, and perhaps, sometime in the future, someone will decide that, it's a sort of important thing. But I think many of the Brooklyn hospitals are also sort of community hospitals, and there's something that's, less attractive to donors about providing money to community hospitals.
What about hospitals in the other boroughs? Are they going through similar problems? Does everybody want to go to Manhattan?
Well, Queens has a lot of the same problems as Brooklyn. And the Bronx actually has a very different system because Montefiore has such a large network there. And starting from sort of the 80s, when so much of the borough was decimated and so much of the primary care had disappeared, they sort of started building a network up. And they've been able to, because they're networked and because they sort of use a different insurance model, have been able to be very healthy and provide good care there.
They use what's called a capitated model?
Right. Well, they're sort of increasingly shifting towards one, yeah.
What does that mean?
It basically means, and apologize if I get this a little bit incorrect since I don't know all that much about insurance, but it basically means that they, rather than sort of taking, getting a certain payout from an insurance company per procedure, they get a certain amount per patient, and so they take on the risk, sort of on a monthly basis. They get a percentage of the premium.
Would that work in Brooklyn?
It certainly would work, but it sort of has to be spread out because, like any insurance model, it has to be spread out over a large number of patients. So it basically only works in a large network.
You mentioned that more and more expectant mothers from Brooklyn's brownstone belt are going to Manhattan to deliver. In fact, between 1998 and 2008, the rate of Brooklyn's residents giving birth in Manhattan rose to 31%. That's significant in another way as well, isn't it? Because once you've established a relationship with a hospital, you tend to go back.
Right. And especially, I think, for maternity care, a lot of hospitals see it as a really important time because once mothers have a good experience doing that, they sort of see the hospital as a place where their family should go.
We wonder what our audience is thinking about all of this. If you've had a good or bad experience in a Brooklyn hospital, you might give us a call. If you're a Brooklynite who prefers to go to hospitals in Manhattan, we would want to know why. Our phone number here is 212-433-9692. You can leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org or tweet us. Our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Why has Brooklyn Hospital, great name for a hospital, why has Brooklyn Hospital's ER been described as third world?
Well, I mean, I think Brooklyn Hospital, I mean, several years ago, they went through a financial restructuring that most people say is, you know, was sort of very successful. However, you know, I think they still struggle with many of the same problems that other hospitals in the borough struggle with, which is a large population without private insurance. And, you know, there are long waits in the ER.
Do they have the same kind of technology available that a bigger hospital in Manhattan would have?
They've been trying to improve. I believe they have a new radiology lab. You know, I think it's just they've been sort of making steps in the right direction, but they remain an independent hospital, and you know, it's hard for hospitals to make large investments in changing centers.
Well, you say that even well-managed hospitals lack the resources to increase in size and staff and in technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where does the money have to come from to do that?
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's often from donors or, you know, when a hospital is part of a really large network, they can sort of front that money. Whereas if you're sort of just breaking even every month, it's not something you can't necessarily afford a, you know, multi-million dollar improvement.
A third of Brooklyn residents lack primary care, so they go to hospitals for treatment that could be administered elsewhere. What does that mean for hospitals and ERs? It means lots of patients, but I guess it doesn't mean a lot of money.
Right. I think it often means that they're losing money on those patients who are visiting ERs for, you know, small things. And the federal Medicaid waiver is supposed to sort of force hospitals to change that by, you know, giving them even less if they do that and rewarding them if they don't see those patients in that way.
Is that why going to an ER when you have an emergency, it can be very expensive for somebody who is just on regular medical, has regular medical insurance, so it doesn't have any medical insurance?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, it's not set up to provide efficient care if you, say, just need antibiotics for an earache.
And yet, I just heard a report that would suggest that even with Obamacare and people having access to regular doctors, they still tend to go to the hospital that they have gone to for years for primary care because that's what they know.
Right. I mean, I think people certainly see healthcare as, you know, something where they seek out the familiar, particularly in cases when you're not feeling well.
My guest is Kim Velsey. Her article, Nice Place to Live, But I Wouldn't Want to Get Sick There, Inside Brooklyn's Hospital Crisis, is in the July 21st issue of the New York Observer. And we will be back with more, and we'll be taking your calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org, or you can write to us on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We are back with Kim Velsey, who has written an article called Nice Place to Live, But I Wouldn't Want to Get Sick There, Inside Brooklyn's Hospital Crisis. It's in the July 21st issue of the New York Observer. And we are inviting your calls at 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Thopate. And our first caller is Avery from Brooklyn. Hi, Avery. You're on the air. Avery, are you there?
Andrea?
Yes.
Ah, it's Andrea, actually.
Oh, Andrea. Okay.
Yes.
I was misinformed.
I'm calling because the Brooklyn Hospital seemed to be in a period of consolidation into the wealthy enclaves and not necessarily the best locations for hospitals to be, you know, serving the most people. An example of this is New York Methodist Hospital, which is banned. De Blasio had a plan when he was the public advocate called the Brooklyn Health Authority, and I'd like to see that plan implemented before there's any more construction or consolidation, and I'm wondering what happened to that plan.
Do you know?
Well,
I don't know.
No, I'm asking Kim.
It was never implemented. I think, you know, sort of part of the plan between the city and the state was to work out something, you know, based between the state's Berger Report on Brooklyn hospitals and that. And it sort of has altered as well as Obamacare has come on the scene.
De Blasio protested and was even arrested at the Litch closing. He and one would have assumed that this would have been one of his priorities, but we haven't heard much about it since he became mayor.
Well, he's actually declared on several occasions, I believe, Litch saved and praised the current Fortis proposal, which would have a standalone ER with sort of various clinics and services attached to the site, you know, which in some ways definitely will preserve some sort of health care on the site, but is very far from a full-service hospital and is similar to the freestanding emergency room that just opened at the St. Vincent site.
Litch has a large campus, some very nice old buildings. They're all going to be knocked down or just converted into housing the way so many of Brooklyn's churches are being converted into condos?
Yeah, I believe the Fortis proposal will involve, you know, mostly new construction for those condos.
Let's take another call. This is from Steve from Long Island. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Leonard, good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to mention my wife delivered about a year and a half ago, and just before her actual delivery, we were at our residence in Brooklyn Heights, and circumstances forced us to make a visit to Lick, and it was touch and go as to whether or not she would deliver there. And frankly, it was very apparent, given what we've seen at other hospitals, whether it be the cleanliness of the hospital or the motivation of the staff, that the circumstances at Lick had degenerated quite significantly, even to a uninformed observer. So if you're looking for reasons why people sort of try to escape those hospitals, I think they're evident to a casual observer at the maternity ward, that was for certain.
So do you think, Kim, it's a matter of morale at these hospitals because the people feel that the hospitals are barely surviving?
Right. I mean, I think once a hospital sort of falls into the state where, you know, healthcare services and basic things like housekeeping, where the hospital looks dirty inside, you know, with money losses sort of mounting, when that happens, I think, you know, as you said, if you end up going there for any reason unprepared, you know, you're never going to want to make a return visit.
Since 40% of Brooklyn's population is on Medicaid, or at least the people who go to the hospitals, unlike those with commercial insurance, they don't go to Manhattan for medical care. So the Brooklyn hospitals are struggling to just pay for housekeeping and things like that? Or is the attitude, well, who cares anyway?
I mean, I think, yeah, a lot of those hospitals are struggling to pay for things. And a healthy hospital is one that has, you know, much more equitable mix between privately insured and Medicaid and Medicare patients.
Do we know why there are so many Medicaid patients in Brooklyn? More than ever?
Well, I mean, it's a borough that, you know, despite sort of the glowing or growing, you know, affluent population, does have a lot of poverty in it, and that hasn't changed.
And does that mean a hospital has to be big to survive, to have enough things that bring in the money to cover all those Why is Medicaid being paid less now than it was in the past? Is this something Congress has decided?
Yeah, it's part of federal budget cuts, and New York State has the biggest Medicaid program of any in the nation. I think $54 billion. So it's been very vulnerable to federal cuts in a way that some other states have not. But it's something that other, you know, across the country, states have struggled with.
Stephen Berger wrote a 2011 report on Brooklyn hospitals and identified six hospitals: Brookdale, Brooklyn Interfaith, Kingsbrook Jewish Medical Center, Litch, and Wyckoff Heights as needing to merge into networks. How would how would multi-hospital networks work?
I think that was part of the problem of why it wasn't implemented. It was something that the state found it couldn't really force those hospitals to do because they were private entities, even though they're sort of largely dependent on public funds and nonprofits. And so at this point, the focus now is to see if they can sort of make them collaborate in less formal ways.
Does Medicaid pay differently to different hospitals? Would they be paying better to one of the prestigious Manhattan hospitals?
You know, I can't speak to the specifics of Medicaid, but in terms of private insurers, that's certainly the case. You know, they sort of decide how much they'll reimburse a hospital depending on, you know, whether their clients demand that it be included in the network.
Let's take another call. Ben from Bed-Stuy, how are you on there?
Hello, Leonard. Thank you for covering this important topic. My wife and I just recently left Brooklyn, but we were there for the first 3 years of our daughter's life. And she is a healthy kid, but had two instances that brought her to the ER. She has febrile seizures, where if she gets a high fever, she starts to have seizures. So this happened when she was one, and then again when she was two. So one time she went to Interfaith Hospital, the second time she went to Woodhull Hospital. Both of these are large hospitals in central Brooklyn that are chronically facing issues with underfunding and many of the issues your guest has spoken about today. Our experience was mixed. We found that the pediatricians were very attentive and very skilled, knowledgeable. We felt like we got good patient care, but the hospital environment was unpleasant, to say the least. When we walked in, there seemed to be a large number of mentally ill patients, a lot of yelling going on.
But wouldn't that happen at any hospital that has a psychiatric ward? The same thing would have happened at Bellevue, wouldn't it? And that's in Manhattan.
Right. The difference, though, is that the pediatrics ward was not really far away from all of the more scary stuff happening among the general population. The other thing I want to mention is that in both hospitals, they have large asthma rooms, which is related to some of the issues particular to poor communities of color where there's high incidences of asthma. And that was a little bit upsetting to walk past all of these kids hooked up to the wall getting oxygen treatments. And it points to the fact that these hospitals serve such an important public health function beyond just providing emergency care, that kids have asthma attacks all the time, and they're reliant upon these hospitals in the neighborhood.
Do you want to add anything to that, Kim?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you sort of point out very well that, you know, despite the fact that they're struggling, many of the hospitals do have, you know, great doctors and nurses, and they're really trying to serve their patients as best they can. You know, it's not necessarily a matter of the hospital not trying to do a good job. It's sort of them doing the best they can with not great circumstances.
Let's take another call. Amanda from Brooklyn, hi, you're on the air.
I just wanted to say I had both my kids at Litch in 2007 and 2009.
Can't do that anymore.
No, I can't. But I also got all of their medical care there. And I actually, though it's not luxurious, found everyone to be very kind. I found them to be very attentive. And I was always perfectly happy to get my medical care in Brooklyn and not to have to take a long trip with a sick kid or as a huge pregnant lady. I also would like to say that when Litch was crazy and in flux, my 4-year-old fell and cut his head open at Pier 6. And we ran over with him to the emergency room, and there were, at Litch, because it was right there. He's, like, gushing blood out of his head. And there were security guards, like, armed guards at the door that were like, what do you want? And I was like, my son's head is gushing blood. Can we come in? And they sort of, like, looked at each other and then let us in. We went in. The pediatric emergency room was, like, a ghost town. There was one doctor in there, no nurses. The doctor gave my son, like, a syringe with the needle off of it to use as a water gun. And he did everything himself. He made him a balloon with a happy face on it out of a, you know, latex glove. He let him run around there like it was a playground because he was the only person there. He delivered excellent care. He was, like, I felt like he was a hero because he was just standing there in that emergency room in case anyone needed anything, even though the hospital was basically shut down.
So, Amanda, you were lucky in this case that all of your neighbors were going to Manhattan with their problems.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I feel like it because no one was there, it was, you know, waits were fine. And their pediatric staff in particular was really wonderful. You know, now I have actually had trouble with, like, I had a obstetrician affiliated with the hospital who has just disappeared. I don't even know where she is. So, my children's pediatrician aligned with a different hospital that doesn't take our insurance now. So I've had to change all of my doctors. And, you know, I mean, like, my pediatrician moved to Manhattan. So, you know, I actually made the decision to just switch.
But isn't that a problem also that many of the best doctors want to be connected to the prestigious hospitals in Manhattan?
Right. Yeah, no, that's certainly an issue. And there hasn't been a great primary care network in a lot of Brooklyn. So,
but what Amanda described reminds me of when you walk into a restaurant and there's nobody there. It may have a great chef, but you really aren't sure you want to go to that restaurant.
Right. And, you know, Litch was losing $13 million a month towards the end, so it wasn't very good for SUNY either.
Can you explain the Medicaid waiver, a government-proposed solution to prevent hospital closings?
Yeah, basically over the next 5 years, New York State will get $8 billion, an infusion that will be tied very, you know, closely to sort of metrics that hospitals will have to meet to receive that money. And the money is going specifically in Brooklyn to three hospitals that are considered community safety nets.
So it only goes to those who reduce inpatient care. Can hospitals do that?
I mean, that's a good question. It's difficult in some ways because so many of the hospitals, especially in Brooklyn, that haven't, you know, modernized or updated over the years, just physically, they're built to be inpatient facilities more than outpatient ones, than, you know, to have sort of clinics spread out all over and deal with a lot of the needs in the community versus at this one central place. But, you know, I think the money will help in some ways because one of the problems for hospitals who are struggling, you know, to sort of make it every month financially, they haven't been able to invest in those outpatient clinics, and now they can.
So. Well, isn't this contradictory as a solution since inpatient procedures often provide hospitals with more income?
Right. Although part of the problem with that is that it was sort of, I think it's sort of more of a different funding model. So if hospitals can sort of realign how they expect to be taking in income, that should be helpful, especially for community hospitals that weren't going to be performing, you know, sort of brain surgery or a lot of the more higher margin procedures.
We have a caller named George from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. We actually had two daughters born, one at Litch and one in New York, in Manhattan. We originally were trying to stay in the Brooklyn Hospital at Litch, but Litch actually sent us a letter in between telling us that it was actually very expensive to maintain a maternity ward and that it was actually more cost-efficient to have an emergency room. So we decided that we would go to a doctor that was affiliated with NYU because we felt at least they had a strong reputation regarding children and pediatrics.
So a lot of people, as we pointed out, are going to Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming also one of the reasons that happens is that many of the more affluent people in Brooklyn are coming from Manhattan or other parts of the area. Because Brooklyn has become hip suddenly, but that doesn't mean that they've made a total commitment.
Right.
They don't go to the Brooklyn Museum.
Right. Or maybe they go to the Brooklyn Museum, but they're not going to Brooklyn Hospital. I think it's very true. And I think people, you know, they're attached to their current healthcare network. So some of it's just people not wanting to change to new things. And some of it is, I also think, you know, even if Brooklyn healthcare and hospitals improve, you know, it's their parents or their friends telling them, you know, go to NYU, it's better. And that's hard to ignore, I think.
What's happened in the village with the closing of St. Vincent's? Has the community adjusted?
Well, just about, I think, 2 weeks ago now, North Shore LIJ opened up the Lenox Hill Healthplex in the O'Toole building, that sort of very eye-catching white building on 7th Avenue. And that will be sort of a freestanding emergency room, you know, very state of the art. I toured it; looks great. You know, they have
that's where the old union used to be, the
maritime
union.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like waves.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, and so it's a beautiful facility. I mean, the main thing though is that it will be treating sort of your variety of non-emergencies. If there, you know, there's a trauma case or a bad car crash. That sort of thing where someone's going to need to go into emergency surgery, they won't be sent to the healthplex. They'll be sent somewhere else.
But in the case of Manhattan, a lot of the hospitals are fairly close to each other. The only concern you might have is that traffic will get backed up. If you have a problem in Greenwich Village, well, there are hospitals that are in the teens and in the 20s. It's not the same thing as Brooklyn, where hospitals
right. –
Brooklyn's a big borough, and hospitals sometimes could be fairly far apart.
Right, and the population is growing very quickly in Brooklyn as well.
Now, I guess one of the solutions we could propose is that people who live in Brooklyn just decide that when they need help, that they go to a hospital, a local hospital, unless there's some incredible specialty that requires them to go elsewhere.
Right. And though that's a hard sort of case to make, I think when anyone's sick, no matter sort of what it is, even if you just need stitches, you know, you don't want to go to a hospital that you think of as not being as good.
Kim Velsey's article, Nice Place to Live, But I Wouldn't Want to Get Sick There Inside Brooklyn's Hospital Crisis, is in the current issue, the July 21st issue of the New York Observer. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.